Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Welcome again this week. Welcome you guys back. Hey, just as a reminder, be sure to check out our website, MoneyRipples.com. And, of course, if you've got questions or if you've got requests for shows you'd love to hear or questions you'd love to have me answer, shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com, and I'd love to be able to reply and let you know, see if we can bring that up and create lots of value for all of you. So today I'm excited to have a special guest on today. This, funny enough, he's right in my backyard. This guy's in Utah, James Lawrence here. Now, James actually saw speak at Secret Knock, even though I did actually hear about his story last year with the huge challenge he did with doing 50 triathlons in 50 days. And I'll tell you, I mean, I've done four full marathons, and you know, I'm about to do a half marathon in a little bit here. But still, my goodness, like that, it blew my mind. And his story and the things he had to overcome to do that just amazed me. Like, I was wowed by his story. It actually even brought me to tears, which it does take a little bit of a story to do that. So I'll tell you, like, it's incredible. So glad, definitely have James Lawrence on here. So James, welcome.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for having me. I didn't mean to make you cry, but if that was a good thing, then I'm happy to have done it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No, it's an incredible story, definitely of perseverance and will and overcoming great odds, so I love it. So just curious, I know you're called the Iron Cowboy. Why did you get that name, the Iron Cowboy? Where did that come from?
It came from a race back in 2011. Ironman's not a really good spectator-friendly sport, and so I try to involve my kids. I've got five of them, so I try to involve them in everything that I do. And just as a playful gesture, I wore a cowboy hat one race so that they would see me coming and so they didn't miss me. And it just kind of stuck. Everybody really loved it, and it became just this thing that made me recognizable out there. And then, you know, you want to come up with something that's a little bit unique and different when you're trying to raise money for charity and nonprofit. And so it was just kind of a thing and a brand that stuck, and now I have it forever.
That's awesome. So were you originally a cowboy up in Canada where you grew up?
No, I'm originally from Calgary, which is known as Cowtown, but I'm the furthest thing from a cowboy. I'm a city kid, and I don't particularly like to get down and dirty.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit, like, I know in your story, you said you actually hadn't always been a marathoner or a triathlete, right? What possessed you to even want to do that?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up wrestling, and I did a lot of different sports, but really gravitated towards freestyle wrestling. And just as you get older and you don't really have an outlet to do that, and you start to have kids, I'm still a competitive guy, and just going to the gym for the sake of going to the gym wasn't really doing it for me. And then I was just challenged to do a little bit of running with my wife. And it was really hard for me. You know, looking back on it, I probably should have quit, but I'm glad I didn't, just because, you know, we get into situations where things are hard and it's uncomfortable for us, and so we take a different route. But my ego kind of got in the way. My wife called me pathetic, and I took that as a challenge. And then I just kind of dove in head first with running and marathoning, which evolved into sprint triathlons and eventually into Olympics and halves and then full Ironmans. And then 10 years later, we've got a few world records and the most recent accomplishment of 50 Ironmans in 50 consecutive days through all 50 states.
Yeah. Now tell us some of the records you had broken even previous to that.
Yeah, I allowed things to happen organically as my body and my mind evolved over time. I took it step by step, but I broke the world record for the most half Ironmans in a single year, all official events. I did 22 half Ironmans in 30 weeks. And then I went on to do 30 full Ironmans through 11 countries in one calendar year, all official events. So I hold the record for the most full half Ironmans and full Ironmans in a calendar year.
Now, for some people that don't have a reference, that don't know what a full Ironman is, tell us the distance of each of these and what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a total of 140.6 miles broken up into swimming, biking, and running. The swim is 2.4 miles, and then the bike is 112 miles. And then after you do that, you get off your bike and you run your standard marathon distance, which is 26.2 miles of running.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy. And typically, how long does that usually take you to do, to run all that?
Your fastest professionals are doing it in about 8 hours, and you have 17 hours to complete this. My fastest is right around 10 hours, and during the 50 Ironmans that were consecutive, I was averaging between 12 and 14 hours.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, I know how bad I feel after a 26.2, and it's not fun. So just the fact that you even to do a full Ironman is pretty amazing feat in and of itself, and then you start to do that consecutively.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, people that do marathons are 1% of the population, and then people that do Ironmans are an even smaller percentage. And that's what I do. I do full time as we coach a team. We have Team Iron Cowboy. I mean, a lot of people want to try an Ironman and get ready for them, and they just don't know how to do it. And so we kind of bridge that knowledge gap for them. A lot of people come to us because of what I've done and the knowledge and the experience that I have. And they're impressed with the feat. For example, Ironman Coeur d'Alene was yesterday, and I had five athletes doing it all for the very first time. Without fail, the athlete always comes back and says, I knew you were nuts before, but now I know you're not human. just because they do one Ironman and they can't comprehend waking up the next day and doing that again, and let alone for 49 more consecutive days. And so it's interesting for me too, to be in a position where we accomplished it a year ago, when we told it would be impossible. And now to be on the other side of it, I can see why people were saying that and why they thought it would be impossible. The further removed we get from it, my wife and I look back and we're still not sure to this day how we actually pulled that off.
It's absolutely. I mean, when you're taking like you're saying, like 12 plus hours, and then you're trying to do 50 triathlons in 50 days in 50 states. I mean, even just 50 triathlons in 50 days is a challenge enough, but then to try to make sure you hit every state is just incredible. And so
the logistics on it were as equally as impressive as the physical and mental feat. So there's many components outside of the actual physical accomplishment to make it happen.
Yeah, I think I heard you said you spent months just doing the planning and the logistics just to make it work, right?
Not just months. I spent a couple of years trying to put it all together and make sure that it all would work. And then even then, once you start, your perfect plan that you've written down on paper maybe isn't going according to plan. And that's what I think most entrepreneurs misstep is they'll write out a perfect plan, and then as soon as things don't go according to plan, then they throw it out the window, and they forget that really nothing goes according to plan, and that you need to be creative, and you need to be patient, and you need to be able to pivot in most situations because nothing's going to go according to plan. And then also the flip side of that coin with entrepreneurs that are trying to do something is they plan themselves to failure, and what I mean by that is they keep writing down the perfect plan and tweaking the plan, and they forget that a perfect plan is an evolving plan, and without actually taking action on what they perceive as a perfect plan, it's never going to happen. And so once you have a plan, it doesn't have to be perfect. The key to making that plan perfect is execution. Like I just said, people will plan themselves to failure because they don't take the first step because they don't think their plan is fully executable. Any plan, even the best of plans, are going to change and pivot and evolve over time. And so if you have even half a plan, the best thing you can do is to start to execute it and put it into motion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's our friend Greg Reed, in one of his books, he actually interviewed Truant Cathy, who's the CEO of Chick-fil-A. And it always stuck with me, the advice he gave, which he says, don't plan. And it doesn't mean you ever have a plan, but his thing was make sure you have a good, solid vision, like maybe a five-year vision or whatever that vision is, what you're trying to accomplish, and then plan the first steps, but then be willing to roll up the punches and see if there's better, if there's an opportunity that comes along that you're willing to adjust to it, not just be so stuck to your plan that you actually plan for failure instead of success.
Well, I love what you just said. You said plan for a five-year big picture plan. And I think what people try to do is they try to accelerate a big plan too quickly, and they'll set a giant goal, whether it's in business or athletics or whatever it may be. But then they don't achieve their entire vision in the first 6 months of operation, and they quit or back out because things got hard. And I think with big goals, the biggest mistake people make is they don't associate a proper time frame with it. And I think setting huge goals is awesome, but you're setting yourself up for failure if you set the time frame on that goal too quickly. Now, if you achieve your goal beforehand or before anticipated, that's awesome. But to not achieve a big goal in what your mind thinks it should have achieved it by, you need to adjust, and that's setting yourself up for failure. And so with big goals, you need to have appropriate time frames associated with them.
Right. Absolutely. Did you ever have a doubt on your time frame, the 50 days time frame?
No, because it was a journey 10 years in the making. I mean, I did the half Ironman world record, which prepared me physically and mentally. I did the full Ironman world record. So when you do 30 full Ironmans in 1 year, you know, I know it seems completely irrational when I say this, but the next logical step for me was 50 consecutive. And from where I was sitting in my perspective, that was the next logical step. But in 2010, when I did the half Ironman world record, had I said instead that I was going to do 50 Ironmans in 50 days, then yes, that would have been an absolutely ridiculous time frame for my goal to do it in that year. I had to do the halves, the fulls, and everything first in order for that 50-day time frame to be realistic. And it was still an insane challenge. And the goal to do it in 50 days was very realistic. It wouldn't have been realistic to do it 5 years earlier.
I agree. Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that, because I know some people will get such a big vision and have such a big plan for what they want to do, but many don't start because it's so big and it's so outside of where they can even see, right? And I noticed that in my life. Like, the most success I've seen, many of the things I've been able to accomplish is once I can see it, then I can achieve it. But until that time, if I can't see it in my mind, it doesn't happen. And I think that is the way with most people, is if they can't truly see it, they can speak it and talk about all they want, but if it's not something that they can say, wait, okay, I've accomplished this, I've done this, okay, cool, I've done this now. Hey, the next step, I can now do this. It's like it's gradual, not just let's leap for it and hope that we make it in one shot.
Yeah, the best example I can think of that is, like I mentioned, we do coaching where we teach people how to get ready and eventually become an Ironman. And what happens often is someone will come to us and they say, I want to be an Ironman. And we say, okay, we're going to prepare you methodically in order for this goal. And they're like, great, I'm ready, I'll do what you say. And then we have 6 months or a year to prepare, and we give them the first workout, and it's challenging for them. And they get completely overwhelmed, and they say, if I can't do this workout, there's no way I can do an Ironman. And the Ironman is 6 months to a year away. And so I always have to back the client up and say, look, we have the big goal, it's an Ironman. Now let's forget about the fact that an Ironman is a 2.4 swim, a 112 bike, and a 26 run. Let's take that off the table. Let's now look at today's workout and today's checklist. Now let's do everything we can to accomplish today's checklist. And if we do that and we do all of the checklists every day this week, we're going to be ready for next week. And if we do them all that this week, we're going to be ready for next month. And what happens is if we trust the process that we've laid out in front of us and we've surrounded ourselves with the right people, 6 months from a year from now, if we've done all of our smaller checklists, that big goal and that big vision is going to come together. Now, we always have to keep in mind what the big goal is, but we need to put all of our focus, attention on the small tasks and the small checklist. I say all the time, greatness is not achieved overnight. It's by doing small things consistently over a long period of time. And those small things consistently over a long period of time is those checklists. It's today's workout. And as soon as I get my clients to shift their mindset and their focus to today's objective and today's small task, then by the time we get to the race, they're race ready and they accomplish it and they feel that an immense satisfaction of accomplishing something big. But it was only accomplished because of breaking things down to the smallest of tasks and then staying focused and present on those tasks.
Yeah, you actually remind me of a mantra I came up with when I kind of heard a concept like this before, and it's where I call it dream big, but think small. Like dream big, but think small. You know, because it's fine to dream big, but most people will dream big and try to think big, and then they don't accomplish anything. And if you dream big and then you think small, like this first little steps, just little consistent steps that get you there, you're much more likely to accomplish it that way than you are other ways.
Absolutely.
So, man, I love it. Hey, so question on you obviously had there's a lot of training and there's mental as well as physical preparation, and I've seen this be true in all cases. You know, give you an example. Like I remember in 2013, my big vision, was I remember writing out on my vision, my ideal vision that I had. I wrote out, speaking like once or twice a week, right? You know, like if I could even speak once a week, that was pretty huge. Even twice a month, I was like, oh, if I can speak and present, twice a month, oh, that'd be awesome. And then in 2015, I looked back, I thought, well, that's weird because I spoke 184 times in 2015.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, if I only spoke like a couple times a month, that must have sucked. like that was horrible.
Yeah.
And it's funny how your mind will shift with it. And so, and I know this is true in business as well as with, physical training too. How much would you say that mindset is an important piece of what you do and how you train people?
Mindset is everything, and it's not something that you just wake up one morning and you have. You have to put yourself, for me in athletics and with my athletes, I ask them to put themselves into situations in training all the time, so that they have an opportunity to quit or to push themselves to another level. Because you're not going to wake up race morning having not practiced the mental side of thing and just show up and be able to do it. And so we practice that all the time, and mindset and perception of mindset is also very unique. It's funny, the story that you just told about, being able to, your goal was to speak twice a month or twice a week, and then you look back and you'd far exceeded that. I remember when I was much younger and had an entrepreneur of mine, I was like, if I could just make $60,000 a year, that's all I'll ever, need. And I look at my payroll now, and my payroll is over 60,000. And so not only am I making more than that, I'm blessing people's lives with what I thought I was wanting to attain. And so, it's interesting how the mind and perspective works. But I always had that goal to make, if I could just make $60,000 a year, and to have my, my outgoing just payroll for my business be that, and much more. It's just interesting to see how the mind evolves and creates things.
It's true. I remember the days when I used to think $100,000 was meant rich, It's like,
No.
Nowadays, like, okay, I can barely take care of my family with that.
Yeah. There's many, many different levels, and we obviously live in a country where opportunity is great. And we have incredible opportunities to grow and amass significant amounts of wealth. But it, like, we've touched on it briefly. It just comes down to being creative and being able to pivot and doing those small things, consistently.
Yeah. So this is probably like one of the last questions I have for you, but, so I know as you're running the 50-50-50, right? As you're doing that, it was about Ironman number 30 that you got to a place where you kind of hit a wall and you just about gave up. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was a lot of walls, but at number 30, it was a significant wall where it was really the moment where I had to decide if this was something that I was truly committed to and something that I believed that I could accomplish. And I really made a very conscious decision where to put my focus and attention. And it's amazing once you shift or have a mindset of where you're going to put your attention, that energy comes back to you tenfold. And as soon as I shifted my mindset from not focusing on the negativity or the things that were going wrong or the everything that was hurting, and I shifted it to strength and power and explosiveness and fundraising and all of the good things that my crew was doing and all of the everything that was good, there was a massive impact on myself and my crew, and we started to really gain momentum. And so it really comes down to what conscious choice are we willing to make to where we put our focus and our attention. And it was really amazing for us to see as I evolved and as my team evolved once we made some very key changes in perspective and choices. So it was a really cool experience to have.
What was the thing you had to say to yourself to keep you moving forward, even though your body was screaming no?
Yeah, it just becomes I didn't say one thing per se to keep me going. I just went over everything that I had committed to, what I said I was going to do, what my word meant, what I was willing to sacrifice in that moment. Nobody would have cared if I was the guy that said I was going to do 50 and I did 30, even though 30 would have been a fantastic physical feat and an accomplishment. I still would have been the guy that said he was going to do 50 and he failed. And so I almost had to reevaluate what I was doing in that moment and really take it to another level. Again, it comes down to choices. I say 10% of life is what happens to us and 90% of life is how we choose to react to it. And in that moment, I had an opportunity to choose to react to feeling sorry for myself or dig deep, make some key sacrifices and push forward. And really that's when my mind and my body came into alignment. And I think it's in those moments when people are right on the edge and they're scared and they're terrified of leaping off the edge and finding out what they're really made of. And it was in that moment, 30 through 50, where my mind and my body came into alignment to where I was actually able to execute at a higher level. When we were completely defeated by 30, we took it to another level when, 50 was supposed to be impossible. We got faster 30 through 50 and achieved something that nobody thought we could even come close to.
Now, that actually reminds me of a scientific law called the law of perturbation. I don't know if you've ever heard that referred to before or not.
I don't even know what word you just said, so no.
Yeah. Well, think of perturbed, right? You were definitely perturbed.
Oh, perturbed.
Perturbation. previously what they found that they had passed energy through cells, like electricity or whatever, they passed it to cells, and they noticed that if they kept turning it up, it caused the cell to shake and start to, they would think, like, to kill it off, right? But they noticed if they held it there and just let it go for a while and to the point where it was at the breaking point, eventually it would evolve and then it would be able to take on that new sense of energy. Almost like if you're a movie buff, if you ever watched the movie X-Men, and they turned that senator into a mutant by changing his cellular structure. Same kind of concept, right?
Yeah.
But pretty much that's what they noticed. Well, like, we're as human beings, we tend to evolve. Like, when we're at that breaking point, that's when we can actually accept and hit a new kind of a new high, so to speak, right? Like new threshold.
Well, I grew up in the 80s, and so I call it my Hulk Hogan moment. To when I don't know if you ever watched WWE wrestling, but. Yeah, to when he would get beat up and beat up and beat up, and all of a sudden he would start shaking and convulsing, and they would keep hitting him, and it no longer had any effect on him. And then he would ultimately, in the next several minutes, have reverberated into this incredible – yeah, exactly, and it turned into this another person that had another level and would go on. And obviously, we know how the story ends. He does the leg drop and pins his opponent, but – it's just having that Hulk Hogan moment to where you're completely getting beat down and you just have this energy that overpowers you, and you visibly see, I, I love that I'm making a WWE reference right now, but the fact that he makes a decision in that moment that I'm no longer going to get beat upon and I'm going to shake my entire body to overpower whatever I'm happening and eventually overcomes his opponent. So that was just something that came to my head. I grew up watching wrestling.
I love it now,
but it was back in the day. It was some pretty good stuff.
It was. It was very inspirational. It's one of the best for sure. And then he ends up on Rocky, so you know it's awesome.
Exactly.
So, well, awesome, James. I appreciate your time here today. Is there any final words you would give to entrepreneurs? I mean, based on the things that you've gone through, those that might be struggling, those that obviously they feel like maybe they're hitting their limits, and maybe they're dealing with lots of naysayers that don't believe they can achieve their dreams. What would you say to them?
I would say absolutely, if you're up against that wall right now and you're in that situation where things are grinding, this is the time to push through and go to another level, because more often than not, people in this situation, they choose to quit over pushing through. And it's like on day 30 when my mind and my body came into alignment and we were right on that tipping point to something great. And I would just say keep grinding, because if you're up against it right now, that means you're really, really close to that tipping point, and greatness is hopefully right around the corner. And so if you're scared, that's an awesome place to be, because a better you is on the other side of fear. And as soon as you climb over that summit of the mountain, it's time to go home, baby.
Excellent. So, James, if you want to either follow you, or if they want to have you speak or whatever, what would you recommend? How would they get a hold of you, or how would they follow your stuff?
Yeah, if you go to ironcowboy.com, you can send me a message on there. I'm also very active and run my own social media. It's Facebook/IronCowboyJames and Instagram/IronCowboyJames. Both of those are great ways to follow me. We've got a book coming out in March. That tells the whole story. We've got a documentary coming out in September that's going to hopefully get people excited about the book. And then if you ever have that bucket list, want to do an Ironman or even a marathon, a 10K or anything, if you go to teamironcowboy.com, you can enroll into our program. It's super affordable. You've got full access to me and my coaching staff and the guys that coached me to get me ready to do these incredible things. And so it's really literally the best deal out there on the training space. Your bang for your buck is pretty incredible. But ironcowboy.com will point you to all these spaces. Teamironcowboy.com if you want to do anything race-wise. And then my social media is /IronCowboyJames.
Awesome. James, thank you so much for your time today. It's been awesome. Great, great stuff. I know it's very valuable for myself as well for those listening today. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. And everybody else, thank you for joining us today. Have a wonderful, prosperous week. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.